monsoon season here.
Really? Yeah. It rained here yesterday, too.
What?
Yeah, there's
it's
actually
like the first time.
There was thunder and lightning last night. It's like the second time in 5 years in L.A. I've actually seen lightning and heard thunder.
The Las Vegas 51s had a game rained out the other day, and it was the first time that they had had a game rained out in Las Vegas in 8 years. They had had wind outs and power outages that had postponed games, but not a rain out
wind
in
outs.
8 years. Yeah. How bad does the wind have to be for an umpire to be like, nope, nope, especially in the PCL, like...
Yeah, I remember growing up in Wyoming, we used to have wind days where we couldn't go outside for recess because it was so the wind chill was so bitter cold. Yeah,
that's impressive.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Hey, welcome in. It is episode number 43 of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast.
43.
We were brought in today by This Side of Paradise. They are a local Denver band and are on Facebook. We were brought in today by the song Handsome Devil. And you can go check them out.
Written about me, I'm sure.
You know. Our good pal Oliver Howard sent that in. So give give This Side of Paradise a like on Facebook and check them out there. And
our good pal Oliver Howard. He's been there since the beginning.
He really has. Oliver's one of our... like our core early group.
Yeah.
Most of whom I think are still with us.
And if they're not, we had a good run with them.
Whatever, you guys. By the way, if you are listening, if you know someone who has a band, if you have a band, if you know a singer-songwriter, if you know anybody who produces music, go ahead and send some tracks our way, and we will use it on the next episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast, which will be episode number 44, because we are out of music. So we need local music submissions. And you know what? They don't even have to be local music submissions. You want to send in music from somebody you know. If you're a Rockies fan, if they're a Rockies fan, send us music.
You want to send in some U2 songs? Go ahead. Send them in.
You want to send in something from a kitschy young band from Liverpool named The Beatles? Send it in. No, just kidding. We would not ever have the money to pay for those rights.
No.
So welcome in. Hi, Anthony. I'm Tyler Mon. He's Anthony Masterson.
Oh, hello, Tyler.
Like 7 minutes into the show,
yeah.
Just introduce our names. Got a lot coming up on the show for you today. We're going to go a little interview light compared to the last couple of weeks, but we will be chatting with Doug Maurer, the radio voice of the Asheville Tourists, the Class A South Atlantic League affiliate of your Colorado Rockies, and the reigning Sally League champions. Two out of the last three South Atlantic League titles have gone through Asheville, so we'll be talking with Doug about some of the talent there, like Forrest Wall. Forrest Wall's there.
Yeah, Tyler,
you know
we know. Yeah.
Did you know Forrest Wall's on that team?
Yeah, and you know who else knows? Asheville County, okay? They know that he knows that you're there, and you know he's there.
Are they actually in Asheville County?
I don't know. Probably not.
Let's look.
You know who knows? Sheriff John. Sheriff John in Asheville County knows.
Buncombe County. Buncombe. That's such a southern name.
Yes, it is. Oh, my God.
Buncombe County. Asheville. Speaking of Asheville, by the way, shameless plug coming up. You pick up a May edition of Rockies Magazine, you can check out a little piece that I got to write about the 100th anniversary of the Asheville Tourist nickname. They're celebrating 100 years of being called the Tourist this year. They're doing a lot of cool throwback jerseys, a lot of cool items of note in Asheville this year. So go ahead and pick up a copy of that. It was a lot of fun to write. And a big thanks to our pal Bill Ballou for his help on that story. And yeah, other than that, not a real fun week for Colorado Rockies baseball.
Well, first of all, episode 43, we got to name this
episode. Oh, yeah, let's go for it.
So we don't have a lot to choose from, to be perfectly honest.
We're starting to get into slim pickings.
We got Rafael Anoa, who's on the team currently. Pedro Hernandez last year. Colin McHugh, who has done nothing but kick the crap out of people for the Astros since DOD let him go on a waiver deal in 2013. Alex White came over in the Ubaldo Jimenez trade.
Aggravated DUI,
was
Alex White.
Terrible. Yeah. Ryan Sheely in 2006. Nobody wore it for 5 years. Adam Bernero, 03-04, Dan Maselli in 03, Bobby Chouinard, 2000-2001, he's not real, David Lee, 1999, not the forward for the Golden State Warriors, I'm pretty sure, Dave Wainhouse, also in 99, Mike Munoz and his mustache, 93-98, and then Andy Ashby in 1993 as well. So my money goes to Mike Munoz only because his super killer 90s mustache.
I also did not – he was the only guy who just by face I could not place at the 20th anniversary thing the other week. I kept looking at Mike Munoz and being like, who is that guy? And yet he looks largely the same. He looks pretty much the same, but I just didn't recognize him without the trademark. I think the facial hair was still there, but it's a lot grayer now.
Okay, wow.
Mike Munoz. the Mike Munoz Memorial Edition of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast, episode number 43. And, yeah, it has not been a super fun last handful of games. Your Colorado Rockies started this season 7-2. And since then, they have gone 4-13. So that's not really what you would call good, necessarily. And all four of those wins came over a span of five games when they took two from the Padres, one from the Giants, had one game postponed, and then one at Arizona to start that last disastrous road trip. So other than those, they have had a five-game losing streak and now are in the process of a six-game losing streak, which could really, really spiral away from them because they get the Dodgers in town for three, then they're at the Angels, then they're at the Dodgers.
But what's nice, though, is that they've been outscored 65-25 over this current seven-game losing streak.
Yeah, so that's good. That's fun, right?
Yeah, that's real nice.
Whoa. You know, here's the thing. This team's four games under 500. You know, there are six games that separate the first wild card team in the National League from the dead last place Milwaukee Brewers. So the NL is wide open. Right now, the way the Rockies are playing, are they going to hang around in that mix? No, probably not. But you go through swings, you go through stretches in Major League Baseball. As the immortal words of Corey Sullivan we churned out a few episodes ago, you go through a bad 10-game stretch in Major League Baseball, that's the equivalent of one bad game in the NFL. So yeah, the Rockies have been playing like garbage for the last 2 weeks. But you know what? For the first 2 weeks of the season, they were playing pretty well.
Yeah, they absolutely were.
It's kind of the way it goes.
And this discussion went on Twitter between myself and Jordan Freemeyer, who is our good pal. The Rockies' biggest problem this year, besides the pitching, that one's pretty obvious, is the offense this year. And more specifically inside the offense is the fact that this team is not walking at all. They have the worst walk rate in baseball right now at over 18 plate appearances per walk as a team. That would be the worst mark in franchise history. You want to see the best marks in franchise history? Go all the way back to 2009 when they walked under 10, one walk under 10 plate appearances. That was 2009. I think something good happened in 2009. Third best walk rate, 10 plate appearances for every walk. 2007, something good happened that season too. And you see a pattern here because the five worst walk rates in Rockies history – 2012, 2013, 2014, 93, the outlier, and then 2015.
Woof. That's not good.
And it's been pretty much across the board. Troy Tulowitzki has two walks in 94 at bat.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Last year, it took him four games to get two walks. Right around his career average is right about 10 plate appearances per walk in his career. Right now, it's 48.5 plate appearances per walk.
Ooh. Yep.
And other than that, Tulo's hitting the ball fine. His OPS is still at 800. He's just not taking pitches, and nobody on this team is. If Carlos Gonzalez has eight walks and that leads the team, you know something is wrong with the rest of the team. Cargo's never been a guy who's walked a lot. He likes to swing the bat. I mean, his career totals, you know, about 13 plate appearances per walk in his career. That's about right. He's about his career norms when it comes to walks. He's not walking much, but he's leading the team.
The Rockies are so weird right now in that a lot of their numbers are pretty good. Their 273 team batting average is tied for the second best mark in the National League behind, oddly enough, the Miami Marlins, who are the best offense in the National League, batting 276 as a team. The Rockies have hit 29 home runs. That's a pretty solid number. The Dodgers somehow have hit 47 because Adrian Gonzalez has already hit like 45 of those.
And
Cincinnati Reds at 38.
And go down the list. That team is just hitting bombs.
Good thing they're coming to Coors Field tonight.
Can't wait.
The Rockies have the third most home runs in the league, but where the Rockies are struggling is scoring runs. They have the second highest team batting average. They have scored the fifth fewest runs in the National League so far. That's what's really weird about this. They've been just ripping extra base hits all over the yard. They've got 62 doubles, of course. That leads the National League. But they're not cashing in much And that's what's so strange right now, is that this team, when you look at their situational stats, they're not coming through in positions where they need to come through to generate big innings. That's what seems to be weird. They'll get a run here and a run there, but we don't see what we saw from them on opening day where they score in bunches. We just aren't seeing that.
Two times we've gotten tacos this year, you know, opening day and then any disaster in game one against Arizona a couple days ago when they lost 13-7.
Right.
So, hey, most meaningless tacos ever.
Like, as if tacos could be any less appetizing, but when you get them after a 13-7 loss, it's like, why would anybody want this? Why would this
and
promotion?
Like, it's so weird.
What does this promotion apply in losses?
Yeah, well. And the Rockies are hitting .294 as a team with men in scoring positions.
Yeah. That's weird, too.
Something is not computing here.
No. It's like if this was something, if you had like got your taxes back and this was a number that felt wrong, you would think that you would find like a formula. Oh, there was a problem here. They didn't calculate this correctly. But just none of these numbers are adding up right for the Rockies. They seem to be doing things right, and yet they're not scoring runs.
The biggest thing, I mean, for me, it's the fact that nobody on that team is taking a walk. Nobody's being patient on that team.
Yeah.
And that's a huge problem. I mentioned earlier, the two of the 3 years that they had the best walk rates in franchise history, they went to the playoffs. Boy. And it's not some sabermetric thing. It's not me going crazy, you know, Moneyball in this shit. No, I'm sorry. This is getting people on base to create more people on base, to create more havoc for the opposing pitcher, to create more runs. This is not anything that anything new that I'm bringing to the table right now. Getting more people on base.
Remember that Joey Votto fan who tried trolling us one time when you tweeted something out about how Reds fans were
more
stupid?
Like Joey Notto.
Joey Votto doesn't get paid to take walks. You're an idiot.
He does.
Yeah.
He's paid a lot of money to take walks.
It's actually a large portion of money that he makes. The Rockies, unsurprisingly, have the worst staff ERA in baseball. 5.38 is over a half run worse than any other team in the National League. The next worst team at 4.75 is the 9-20 Milwaukee Brewers.
Oy.
By the way, there's a team, and I have to now find their actual record at the moment, but there is a team in the Japanese league in Nippon Professional Baseball right now I take that back. They are in the Korean league, in the KBO, the Korea Baseball Organization, who started the season at 3-25. They are an expansion team, but yeah, that's not so good, is it? They are currently 6-26.
That's not good.
6-26, the old KT whiz. But anyway.
And also with the Rockies, we've gotten some questions on Twitter about whenever they hit a home run, we're like, oh, it's only a solo home run. We're not hitting home runs people on base. Well, that may be true, but right now the Rockies currently rank 8th in baseball in solo home runs with 19. So, that means they've hit 10 home runs of people on base. That's
not totally out of whack.
Standard. Yeah, right. That's not crazy either. So, really, besides the walk rate, everything on this team is fine offensively.
So weird. They're just not scoring.
Just not scoring runs.
It is very strange. And obviously we've seen a pitching staff that has gone way off kilter over the last couple of turns through the rotation. Tyler Matzek last week.
They're good.
They're doing good.
By the way, I mentioned the stat last week, the fewest strikes or percentage of all pitches thrown for strikes. Tyler Matzek, number one on that list now.
I was going to say, is he rocketed up to number one on that list?
He throws 51.4% of his pitches for strikes after that abomination against Arizona.
Tyler Matzek's
half of his pitches for strikes.
He threw basically three balls for every strike.
As a major league
pitcher.
Like.
In total, he threw basically two balls for every strike. He threw 58 total pitches. 20 of them were in the zone.
And that's not to say, listen, Tyler Matzek has always had control problems coming
up. Right.
And it's not to say, when everyone says, like, oh, well, he's a major league pitcher, like, you should be able to throw strikes. Like, well, he's not trying to throw balls, you guys.
Right.
Like, that's what I've never understood that kind of angle to take when you're complaining about something along those lines. But this is what has happened with Tyler Matzek in the past. And when it happened in the minor leagues, he had to take time away from baseball and go back home and meet with his high school coach and try to get his bearings back. And he worked his ass off to get to the point where he was last year when he came up. And he was the best starting pitcher the Rockies had last year. There was a reason why they wanted him to start on opening the home opener this year. I should say. He was their best pitcher last year.
He's still got an ERA of only 4.09. And opponents are only batting .269 against him. It's not a great number, but it's not a horrendous number either. But the last time out definitely concerns you. The difference with Tyler Matzek now is when he was in the minors, especially in that 2011 season, that kind of stuff snowballed. One bad outing turned into two bad outings, turned into five bad outings. But over the last couple of years, Tyler's been able to compartmentalize that kind of stuff. And when one day goes badly, all right, well, whatever. Next time out, it'll be better.
He's really reined it in up to the last couple of years. And you worry that it all might be coming back on him right now.
Certainly, I mean, wasn't a whole lot of fun.
No.
The other day.
I mean, he's had 15 walks in his last three outings spanning 12 innings.
Mark Kislik called it one of the worst starts he'd ever seen on the mound at Coors Field.
And
I was sitting behind him in the press box, and he was tweeting about Tom Brady the entire game. So he was really paying some pretty close attention.
Yeah, that's pretty much par for the course right there.
Let's just talk about that real quick, because I think we want to clarify.
You had a little bit of an epic rant yesterday on Twitter. So why don't you clarify what you were going for? Because I think it all ended up. It was all from a good place. It all ended up well, I think.
Well, I think first and foremost, I want to point something out, which is that the beat writers for this team, Nick Groak especially, and Thomas Harding, we love. Nick Groak, I think, does fantastic work on everything, not just covering baseball. Nick's boxing stuff is like Nick would have been a very, very hallowed reporter in like the 1930s covering boxing when boxing was a major thing, because he does unbelievable work. Nick is great. Thomas Harding does very good work. Patrick Saunders does good work. Those guys we love. The media enterprise that we attack is the Hot Take, Woody Page, Mark Kisla, Drew Soischer, Mile High Sports Radio, the nonsensical, this team is terrible because they spent money on the party deck and not on the pitching staff. That's the stuff that we cannot stand. That's the stuff that this city deserves better than.
There's no patience.
The Woody
that.
Pages, the Les Shapiros, the Mark Kislas. That's what annoys us. It's not us calling out the Post and Nick and Benjamin Hockman and those guys because we think they do a lot of good work. But the guys who have just been cashing paychecks for 30 years and are still basing their knowledge of baseball on what they learned about baseball in 1993 when the Rockies came, that's the stuff that's frustrating.
Or in 1974 when they
were ripping on the Denver Bears. Yeah. That's the stuff that this city deserves better than. And yesterday, I went off on a rant because, A, I was in a mood, and B, what struck me was, like, when we were getting in Twitter conversations and debates with people, what strikes me is everybody's pissed off because everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants this team to be good, and that is a positive.
Yes.
That is how we all should feel.
Nobody wants this team to suck. Yeah.
No. And Jordan Freemeyer, you mentioned him a minute ago, he had a really good point where he said it's comical to him that people think that the Rockies front office doesn't care about winning. It's what these people have devoted their entire lives to, is working in professional baseball. But there is this perception out there from the Drew Soischers and the Mark Kislas and the Woody Pages of, oh, they don't care. Yeah, these people have devoted their entire lives to getting to the positions where they are, and they just go in, don't care at all about what happens, cash in paychecks on Fridays, and that's it for them.
No, Woody, like, that's
what
you
do. What a
bunch
of garbage.
That's what you do, Woody. That's what you do, Mark.
That's nonsensical. That is outlandish, and it's insulting to us as fans that those are the most prominent, loudest voices out there. It's one thing when Nick Groak or Patrick Saunders or Thomas Harding tweet something that's a bit disparaging or that's a bit comical or a bit whatever about this team, because they are in the trenches every single day. You and I know what it's like to be around a terrible team for 15 hours a day and have to suffer through all that nonsense. So when those guys do it, you can take it for what it's worth because they are there. But for, like, dudes who don't show up in the press box, don't cover events, and then just lob pot shots from Twitter or their so cutesy and effectively and inventively named shows on the internet, that is such garbage. And that's what this city deserves better than. This city deserves voices that understand baseball and that understand how this thing is run and that understand the way that this franchise is trying to get better. And the loudest voices in this town are the least knowledgeable on that subject, and that frustrates the hell out of me. So yesterday, when everybody's all fired up and pissed off, that's good. That Yep. means everyone cares. That means everyone wants this team to be good. We're all pulling, like I said yesterday, on the same end of that rope. And are we going to get annoyed with each other? Yeah, we're going to get annoyed with each other. But it's all because we all want the same things. Even the people who are like, this team sucks and they're always going to suck because fans go to games and that's ridiculous. Even those people who have the dumbest of dumb takes on this team, they want the Rockies to be good. It just doesn't make any sense to me. The infighting, and somebody else noted this yesterday, it might have been Andrew Martin, that what sucks is the last 4 years have so polarized this fan base that people lose sight of that. People lose sight of the fact that, like, we're all pissed off because we all want this team to be better. Nobody seems to remember that. And that was the reason behind the rant yesterday. So I wanted to clarify, we're not ripping on the Post to rip on Nick or to rip on Ben or to rip on Patrick Saunders or especially, you know, Thomas Harding from the Rockies official site or even Goodman or Jeff Hewson or those guys. Jenny Kavnar is unbelievable, does amazing work. Jason Hurst is the same way.
Corey Sullivan's
fantastic.
All those
Spilly,
guys.
All those guys. We left out one name there for good reason.
For a reason.
But, I mean, those guys work basically for the organization. We understand why they have to say the things that they do. But to just be the hot take machine, and like Kisla the other day saying, like, baseball in the city is dying because 22,000 people showed up for a daytime doubleheader with a 100% chance of rain, that is so insulting. Like, if you're a Denver Post subscriber, you should call the sports desk and say, I am not an idiot. I deserve someone who can talk to me like I'm a human being and I can understand things the way the real world is. And you don't get that. That's what's frustrating.
That's not how it is anymore.
No.
Because newspapers didn't realize what was happening.
Exactly.
When the internet and the new age came around, and then they were so far behind the times, and they tried to make it up late, and they couldn't do it.
So now they're stuck paying six-figure salaries to dinosaurs from the 80s who have Dan Reeves on their show every week as if that's something that people care about.
That's what the kids 18 to 34 are looking for. They want to talk to Dan Reeves and Mark Jackson.
You know, let's target this this new young market. Why don't we get Dan Reeves on the show? Like, come on. There are people who can legally drink now who were born after Dan Reeves got fired.
They don't even know who Dan Reeves is, I would imagine.
Exactly. So that's what pisses me off. That's what got me going yesterday, is everybody sniping, bitching at each other. I understand all that, but you're all pulling on the same end of that rope. Everybody wants this team to be good. The Rockies want this team to be good. Jeff Breidich wants this team to be good. He has dedicated his life to that. And to suggest that this team is just like, whatever, we're cashing in on the party deck, is so outlandish and insulting that it's degrading to the city and to the fan base of not just this team, but every other team in town to just think like, well, these people, they just don't get it about baseball. Shut up.
Yeah, and not even just the other teams in the town, going back to the Bears and the Zephyrs and all those teams.
Did you see that thing I tweeted about Woody Page wrote in 1974,
yeah, that's amazing.
Whatever it was?
This city has such a beautiful baseball tradition that goes back so far in history. And the fact that we've had a couple of bad years here with the Rockies in the last half decade does not take away from that. Does not mean that we are bad baseball fans. Does not mean anybody involved in this team wants to see this team tank so they can get a good draft pick, or they don't give a crap about what's going on the field because they just want to go sit in the party deck and have drinks and not pay attention to what's going on in the field. That is complete and utter trash.
The Denver Bears won the 1977 American Association Championship. And then Rocky Mountain News columnist Woody Page Jr. said about that on September 9th, 1977, quote, "Oh, there is a swelling of chests and perking of heads among the Bears organization and a few die-soft baseball followers." What a pun!
Good one, Woody.
"But the bars aren't full of celebrating and the ticker tape isn't streaming out of windows. It wasn't that big of a deal. Minor league victories in a major league society just don't attract attention anymore. A fact of life." Now, here's the juxtaposition with that. The Broncos were on their way to the Super Bowl that year. Yes, it was a AAA city and a AAA team in a city that was positioning itself for Major League Baseball. Thought they had the Oakland A's moving there. Thought they had the Chicago White Sox moving there. So maybe the point of that column 8 years before I was born was to say, no, the city deserves a major league franchise.
How did that
but it's just
Bowl
hilarious
go?
To see like the hot take of, yeah, exactly. It's just like, nobody cares. Nobody cares. So you won. Who cares? Nobody cares. It's the same nonsense. That was 40 years ago.
I don't mean,
it's
maybe,
the same crap.
You know what? Maybe we're not seeing this in the right light. Maybe Woody Page is an innovator because he ushered in the golden age of takes back in 1977.
Chris Christman, who is, I think, unanimously among the two of us, like our favorite. Like if we had a favorite of all of you, I'm sorry, but Chris Christman probably wins. He was not a fan of the term hot take today. He said, quote, on the old Twitter, if I had one wish, it would be for the power to take the term hot take, lock it in a chest, and consign it to the bottom of the sea. And I said, can we still use it in solely a mocking fashion?
Yes.
Hot takes, you guys. But I felt like we needed to clarify that.
Absolutely.
Because that's the kind of stuff that's very frustrating. If you are, and this is actually, to be fair, we've said this before. The one thing that I respected for a long time about Mark Kisla was he puts in his research for the most part on stuff that he is going to be his most magnificent troll about.
Yes.
Other guys, you know, like I said, I've never seen Drew Soysier cover a single event in this town. I've never seen him in a press box at anything. I never saw him at Dove Valley. I've never seen him at a Rockies game. You know, Page is whatever. But those are the things that frustrate us. At least do your work. At least have the gall. At least have the guts like Kisla. If you're going to say Walt Weiss is a terrible manager, at least Kisla is there interviewing Walt Weiss, asking him questions, and being there.
Asking why he's such a terrible manager.
Right. At least that much I can respect. But just like, well, 20,000 people showed up at this daytime doubleheader under threat of rain. Baseball's dead in this town. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Just, ugh. So something we needed to clarify, and I'm glad we got it out there.
Maybe the PDP can be the hero Denver deserves, but maybe not the hero that Denver needs.
I still, like, I saw that movie when it came out, and I still don't even really get what that, what is that supposed to mean? Why doesn't Gotham deserve, what? I don't get it.
I'll tell you when you're older.
I'm sure there are a whole lot of questions that I asked my parents that they never actually told me the answers to when I was older.
Yeah, there's probably a lot going on there.
I should have made a list back in the day. Anyway, the one crap story baseball-wise loomed above all of the other crap stories. Adam Ottavino, Tommy John surgery yesterday, according to our good pal Nick Groke of the Denver Post. It was Thursday morning, replaced the torn UCL in his throwing elbow. He said afterward, quote, I feel fine. Everything went as expected. He did have or was scheduled to meet with Dr. James Andrews in Pensacola, Florida, for a final opinion about that partially torn UCL. And Andrews said that he agreed with Rocky's doctors and the surgery was then done.
Is Dr. James Andrews the only orthopedic surgeon in America?
Not only that, Dr. James Andrews is old.
Like when,
he's old
when
now.
When he passes away, who the hell is going to fix baseball players?
Andrews is... I guess he's not quite as old as I thought. He's 72.
Still.
But yeah, like a decade from now, I can't imagine Dr. James Andrews is going to still... Like, is he tutoring someone?
I hope so.
Is there somebody who's, like, hanging out like an intern doctor who's watching? Okay, here's
like
how you take out the UCL.
Dr. Neil Alatriche in L.A. are the only two who do...
And there's the microfracture guy in Vail.
Yeah. I think every surgery on every athlete in America is done by those two guys.
What is that doctor's name?
The one in Vail that like
Stedman
Kobe goes to? Yeah.
Dr. Richard Stedman.
That's
J.
right.
Richard Stedman, in fact. Also, last name of the pitcher and rookie of the year, Chet Stedman.
Also the name of Oprah's whatever.
Oh, man. Adam Ottavino, done. Surgery successful. He'll obviously need about a year to recover. And the Rockies have had a whole lot of guys go on the Tommy John trail, but yet not nearly as many as it seems like a lot of other organizations have. But just in recent years, Jorge De La Rosa had it a while back. Tyler Chatwood, of course. Rafael Betancourt, now Adam Ottavino. And you could just kind of tell that Adam did not look like himself the last time we saw him on a major league mound. And it is, if there was one guy who was going to be crushing to not be able to watch for the rest of the season, he probably would have been it. Him or Nolan.
Yeah.
And bummer.
Oh, we can still watch Nolan, though.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, pitching Nolan we no longer have.
I love that Pedro Martinez is just tweeting about the Rockies all the time now.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
For whatever reason.
It's so random.
Yeah.
Like, of all the teams you would figure Pedro was going to tweet about, even if they weren't teams that he would play for.
No, but he
it's like
he
a daily thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves Nolan. He loves the core the Rockies have.
I really wish that I would have started early on this season watching games on MLB TV. I wish that I would have started keeping a list of all of the things that opposing broadcasters have said about Nolan Arenado. Because every time the Rockies go somewhere and I watch the other team's feed, they cannot stop raving about Nolan. Scully, you would have thought, like, wanted to adopt Nolan like he was a puppy and take him home.
Oh, my God. What if he did?
Vin loves
him. What if he did that?
That would be so great. If you guys didn't read the story over the offseason about when Vin lost his World Series ring in a Costco, go read it. It's so great.
I feel like Vin could do that, though. I think he has enough pulls. Like, hey, I want that one to come home with me tonight. And the Dodgers would be like, okay, yeah.
All right, we'll arrange for it.
Like, hey, Mr. Arenado, come with us. And they'd smuggle him away. And he'd go live at Vin's house.
Hear
stories about High Pockets Kelly.
So the Rockies will have another tough three series staring right down the barrel of three tough series against two teams from Los Angeles, one of which is actually in Los Angeles. But Dodgers, Angels, Dodgel. Dodgers,
wow,
Angels,
try that one
Dodgers.
More time.
Dodgers,
Dodgels,
Angels,
Angels,
Dodgers.
Dodgels.
They are, yeah, it's going to be an interesting way to continue a seven-game losing streak.
I will get to see
or break it.
Games. I have to work every single one of those days. They are in both Anaheim and LA, which
nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh no, it sucks. I can't go to any of the games.
Nice. Good. Good work.
It's not good. It's not good
work.
Dude.
Good work.
It sucks because my birthday is on Monday and I'm going back to Wyoming this weekend, in fact, and there is snow in the forecast, which is great, but I'm flying back on Monday morning and the Rockies are flying into Anaheim the next day to play, which is
awesome.
Shitty. I would really like to see them play in Anaheim because I love going to Angels games, but no dice.
I've never been to an Angels game at Angels Stadium, but I have been to a World Baseball Classic game in Angels Stadium.
It's
I like
nice,
that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
I think the fact that they let there's like an ancillary parking lot next to the main parking lot costs the same, and they let you tailgate in that one, and you can just go buck wild. And it's I've had a lot of fun there getting it before games and then heading on in. And Angels Stadium is very nice. It's never crowded. The fans are never jerks. Like it's pretty solid.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Dodger
Stadium, you never know.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of what I've heard. Angel Stadium, it seems like, was one of the very few. It was built as a baseball stadium, then was kind of converted in the 70s to be, you know, a multi-purpose stadium. But then they sort of salvaged it with some renovations in the 90s. And that, you know, we never really saw ballpark saved that way.
Yeah, but don't worry. Artie Moreno wants to move the team to Tustin. So
sweet.
Yeah, he's having a great year.
They turned themselves into a very dislikable organization.
Oh, man, very quickly.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
It did not take much time. Speaking of which, there was some breaking news on that front this morning. Josh Hamilton could depart Arizona on Saturday and head to AAA Round Rock in a rehab assignment that would begin Sunday. So if you're like me and you're pulling for Josh Hamilton in this hopefully comeback bid, then that could be getting started.
I hope he hits 100 home runs against the Angels this year.
I think everybody else does, too.
It'd be like just when Dan Uggla hit that go-ahead home run against the Braves.
Against the Braves? That was terrific.
And the Braves were paying him $13 million to hit that home run against them.
What was that? The Braves were up 9-1 in that game?
Yeah.
Is that right? And
yeah.
They ended up losing it?
Eight-run lead.
Oh, man.
Anyway,
yeah.
Rockies.
So about those Colorado Rockies tonight.
A lot of tough games coming up. We got three at home with Eddie Butler facing off with Brett Anderson, then ace off with Jorge De La Rosa and Clayton Kershaw on Saturday, and then double ace off Kyle Kendrick versus Zach Greinke on Sunday.
Oof, man.
Can't imagine if Kyle Kendrick has another start like he's had his last four starts that he's going to be too much longer for a Rockies uniform.
Wouldn't think so.
But
tonight,
David Hale is starting to pitch a little bit better in AAA. You have Chad Bettis, who is doing very well. He's got a 2-1 record, 3.86 ERA in 5 starts for AAA Albuquerque. 21 punchouts in 28 innings, holding opponents to a 2.75 average, just 10 walks. He's coming off an outing where he gave up one earned run in 6 innings against Salt Lake City back on the 3rd. So I think he's pitching tonight, in fact, tonight or tomorrow. So
John Gray, I was paying attention to you because I was looking up something to talk about John Gray.
No,
is that who you're talking about? Oh, Bad Chettis. John Gray goes tonight.
Okay, so Bettis tomorrow then.
So there's a very good segue for us. But what I was going to say is John Gray's coming off his best outing of the year. We know that he obviously had struggled a lot over his first four outings. But last time out, two runs over five innings. Gave him up in the first and second inning and then really buckled down. But he goes tonight on the road at Sacramento. Sacramento is the third most pitcher-friendly ballpark in the Pacific Coast League. Actually, of current PCL ballparks, it's the second most pitcher-friendly. So I will like to see what John Gray is able to do in a kind of pitcher's, a relative pitcher's haven on the road at Sacramento to get out of some of the places where he's been, like Las Vegas and Albuquerque. Albuquerque is actually the most hitter-friendly ballpark in the PCL. Did you see Noah Syndergaard's home run there yesterday? Yes. Like, that wasn't like an, oh, fluke, pitcher hit a home run. That was like, Noah Syndergaard hit like a 425-foot home
run. You see where he gets his nickname Thor from, and not just because his Nordic name.
Somebody, we had a tweet come into the old PDP account yesterday that said, please trade Tulo or Cargo for him. And rather than responding with like, all right, hot take, whatever, that if you're going to deal one of those guys, I mean, especially Tulo, given Cargo's value at the moment, Noah Syndergaard, he should be at the top of the list. If that's a route the Rockies want to go,
yeah,
man,
if the Mets finally want to get Tulo
yeah, exactly.
After all this time.
Man, Noah Syndergaard.
After how many times they've tried to get him over the years, or at least think that they're going to get him, which the Mets having that kind of cachet is hilarious. They think that they deserve to get someone like Troy Tulowitzki just because they play in New York. Like, dude, you're still the Mets.
He wears number two for Derek Jeter, man.
Yeah, but you're the Mets.
He's going to go replace
Jeter. He wears number two for Ruben Tejada, man. He just wants to play like Ruben, man. That's all.
That's the other thing that gets so annoying about this time of year is that now it's already, oh, how long is it going to be before Tulo and Cargo are hurt? When are they going to trade them both? Just got to blow the whole thing up. It's terrible. Yeah, we all get it.
By the way, Kyle Kendrick's given up 10 home runs in his last five starts.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
In 26 innings.
That's good.
In 26 innings, he's given up 23 extra base hits.
You really kind of feel like this start may be Kyle Kendrick's Waterloo. Kendrick, if he goes out and gets rocked on Sunday.
23 extra base hits in 26 innings since opening day, including 10 home runs.
Remember opening day? When
opponents are OPSing 1169 against Kyle Kendrick since opening day. His best start, he gave up 4 runs on 7 hits in 7 innings against San Diego. A game they won, 5-4.
Yeah, I was at that game.
Yeah.
It was it looked very ugly early.
That was the walk-off Descalzo, right?
Yeah. He somehow managed to keep him in that game.
It's amazing.
You kind of feel like he's pitching for a job now, though.
He damn well better be.
I even heard somebody make the same comment in the press box the other day that they thought Chad Bettis would be up by the end of the weekend. So, yeah, that's I still think that's going to be the move.
I made that comment to you in a text.
I also heard it from a human being.
Wow, all right.
In the press box. And it wasn't you, thankfully.
Now, we're looking at people who could help out. David Hale, who came over in a trade from Atlanta in the offseason, he just pitched against Las Vegas on, was that Wednesday then? Gave up 2 runs on 10 hits in 5 2/3. A game in Albuquerque, though, in a good hitter's park. 3 strikeouts, couple of walks. On the year in his 3 starts, he had one very, very bad outing at Las Vegas, so it kind of skews the numbers a little bit, but a 9.26 ERA in 3 starts. But in his last 2 starts, he's given up 5 runs in 10 innings. So take that for what it's worth. He is a guy that probably will help this team eventually this year. He's still coming back from an injury. So give him a couple of weeks probably to get a few more starts under his belt, and I would imagine you'll see him in the purple pinstripes probably by mid-June, if I had to guess.
This team has such a weird mix of veteran guys, you know.
Yeah.
And Aaron Laffey, John Lannon, Jair Jurgens, and of course everybody's favorite, Johan Flande, is just like kicking around in Double A.
At 29 years old,
he's 29.
Like, get him out of Double A.
Exactly.
The fact that he's there is kind of insulting.
Whoa.
At least put him in Triple A. There's no reason to keep him in Double A at this point.
That's where we stand.
They did just bring up Shane Carl, who was doing very well in Double A earlier this year. Had a couple of rough starts near the end, but had a 4.45 ERA in Double A New Britain. Got called up yesterday, made 1 start, did all right. Gave up a few runs late in the game to skew his average a little bit, but gave up 6 runs in 6 innings, struck out 3 and walked 1. So he was from Long Beach State. He is 23 years old. He could be helping this team eventually this year.
New Britain, by the way, 19-7 overall. They have won six straight. They have won 12 of 13 games at home this year.
Oh, that's realizing all these
people. And they're moving out of that ballpark next year.
Yeah, all these pitchers in AAA are like, well, yeah, they had some bad numbers that made their numbers look worse. It's like, well, yeah, they're just kind of not very good.
That's always a problem.
I'm just trying to make excuses for them. Like,
ballpark
factors,
pitching the PCL.
They're
just not that good.
There's not a lot of good things to talk about with the guys in Albuquerque right now. 5.65 team ERA for that team. Which is somehow worse than the Rockies. Rockies are at 5.38.
The ballpark and the league don't do you any favors.
No, of course not. And, you know.
However.
Same with the Rockies.
New Britain has been a ton of fun
New
to watch.
Has been a lot of fun to watch.
Modesto's been playing better ball lately, and Asheville has as well. And should we dive right into it right now?
I mean, if we're going to talk about Asheville, might as well bring in our guest, huh?
Why not? Doug Maurer, the radio voice of the Asheville Tourists, joins us next. We're going to talk a little bit of South Atlantic League baseball here on the Mike Munoz Memorial Edition of the PDP. The final full season affiliate of the Colorado Rockies that we have yet to get to as we continue our trek through all of the four full season clubs is the Asheville Tourists. And we head out to the South Atlantic League now. We're joined by the radio voice of the Asheville Tourists. Doug Maurer joins us for a reappearance on the Purple Dinosaur podcast. Welcome back to the show, Doug. What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. It's a nice day out here. We're on our one and only northern road trip of the season up here in Delmarva. We got Lakewood in a little bit, so I think it's good for the team to get out of town for a little bit, try and find ourselves a little on the road. Not quite the start we were hoping for, but it's a long season, so we'll see if we can right the ship.
Well, Doug, let's talk a little bit about the way the start to this season has gone. Asheville has won two out of the last three South Atlantic League titles, but in the minor leagues, when you win a title, the next year always has the possibility of being kind of that blowback year because you're going to lose a lot of talent. David Dahl came through last year. Ramel Tapia was there last year. Kyle Freeland was there at the end of the year. All those guys are gone now. Ryan McMahon, same way. There's a lot of talent that's come through this season, but obviously kind of a different team. Tell us a little bit about the 2015 Tourists.
Yeah, you know, definitely a lot of talent on this team. We're currently 11-16, but they say sometimes teams are better than their record indicates. I'm not sure if this team is better than their record, but they're definitely more talented. And we got off to a great start this year. We went 6-2 to open up the season. We went into a little bit of a lull. We lost 9 out of 10, and we're still trying to kind of find our way after that stretch. Offensively, it's a bit of a struggle this year. We're currently dead last in the league in hitting, but we faced some pretty good pitchers this year. So again, you know, you play half your games at hitter-friendly McCormick Field like we do. Definitely expect that number to jump up there. Pitching's been solid for us, and defensively we struggled a little bit, to be honest. So again, they're fixable things. Going to take some time, and I think once we get everything figured out, we'll start to pile up some wins.
The one guy I want to look at that has kind of busted out for me in the beginning of this year for the Tourists is Wes Rogers, center fielder, second among all minor leaguers with 20 steals. He's only been caught twice. He was hitting well over 300, 400 early on in the year, had some big games, a five-hit game. What do you see from him that can play at higher levels, do you think?
Wes is an athlete. There's no doubt about it. He is just a pure athlete out there, covers a lot of ground in center field, and great straight line speed, whether it's looking to beat out a bunt, running to first base, and you mentioned it, 20 stolen bases. He'll steal second. He'll steal third. Wes also has sneaky power. He's hit a couple of home runs, and they haven't been cheap home runs. He can hit the ball hard to left field. He's had a lot of doubles this year where he's put it off the wall on the fly in some pitchers' ballparks. So he definitely has the bat. Obviously defensively he'll cover some ground. I think his arm is right about average at this level. It'll definitely improve. So I like Wes. He's definitely been one of our team leaders, and he's definitely a guy who I think will have some success at higher levels.
Doug, for people who have listened to the podcast, they know that I have a creepy man crush on Forrest Wall, which is kind of borderline illegal because he's like 12 years old.
Well, we're trying to get him help, Doug. We're trying. It's not working.
But, Doug, Forrest Wall plays a position that the Rockies have never really been able to develop that effectively. I mean, you look at DJ LeMahieu now. He didn't come up in the system. He's playing Gold Glove level defense at second base. He's hitting well. But they've never developed a second baseman of their own who has been very successful. Forrest Wall seems like he could turn that tide. A very young kid, obviously, but we have heard a lot, not just from inside the organization, but outside the organization, of people who are very impressed with what he's done so far. We know that he can hit, but defensively, the arm strength has always been the question. He had labrum surgery in high school. The rehab kind of limited his arm strength. But what have you seen from him as far as being a complete player? We know that he can hit. He's a number six ranked prospect, according to MLB.com. But tell us a little bit about what he's been like on the other side.
Yeah, you know, I think Forrest is, you mentioned his youth. I think he's one of our more mature players, honestly, in the clubhouse. He just seems to have a little bit of an aura about him, a little persona about him where, you know, he's businesslike. He's very businesslike, obviously. We saw that here in Asheville with Russell Wilson a couple of years ago, just, you know, a drive to get better every single day. And you see that with Forrest. Offensively, he's been solid. You mentioned it. He's able to hit the ball to all fields. He has a couple home runs this year, including a grand slam. And defensively, we've seen some flashes from him. You know, he's the kind of guy out there defensively. He's going to give 100% on every single ball that's hit his way. You know, he's made a few errors this year, but, you know, that's to be expected at this level. Guys are still getting comfortable with that. As far as arm strength goes, I haven't really seen too many plays where he's really had to show off the arm strength. He's been accurate. I will say that. He hasn't made throwing errors this year. Defensively, as far as balls hit to him, he's had a couple of fielding errors. But, again, he'll knock a ball down where he doesn't necessarily field it well. He'll stay with it. He'll pick that ball up and fire it over first base, whether he's going to get the runner or not. So you just see the effort from Forrest. And I think he's definitely a guy who will improve with age once he, you know, really kind of, I guess, grows into his talent. I mean, he's a strong guy. He's a big guy, just 18 years old. We had a second baseman here a couple of years ago in Taylor Featherston, who you really saw some of those highlight reel plays with. You haven't necessarily seen that with Wall, but Featherston was a college guy. I mean, he had 3 years to develop. So once you give Forrest a couple more years, I think you'll start to see some of those defensive plays kick in that you see at the big league level. And then hopefully that strength will, in fact, you know, come around like I'm sure the Rockies hope it will.
And we'd be remiss as Rockies fans here on a Rockies podcast if we didn't give the fans something to look forward to from the pitching angle. We know this team can hit. All the teams can hit in the minor leagues. The pitching has always been a little bit different. We see a couple of guys who have done pretty well in the starting rotation so far this year for the tourists. One guy I'm looking at is Zach Gemiola, 3-2, 2.79 ERA so far, nearly a strikeout per inning. What have you seen from Gemiola so far?
I like Gemiola. I like him a lot. He was actually on our team last year. He won 9 games in this league. And Zach has taken a leadership role on this team, and he's led by example. He throws a ton of strikes. His fastball is in the low 90s. He keeps it down in the zone. Throws a four-seam and a two-seam fastball. Has a plus slider. He even features a knuckle curve, which he'll throw out there on some hitters every now and then. This is a guy who was a high school kid. But he's had some now experience in the minor leagues. So I have a feeling that he probably won't be with us all season. Again, he was here last year as part of that championship run. So I would think he would probably get a shot up in Modesto, maybe around the All-Star break. Really, you know, obviously it depends on what the Rockies would like to do with him. But he's been great this year. I'll give you another arm to look forward to. And this guy is really young, Ryan Castellani. He started for us a couple of days ago. They're being very careful with his pitch count. But this is a high school guy. He just turned 19 at the beginning of April. I think he was a second-round draft pick by the Rockies. And he throws about 93, 94 with sink at this time. He has a hard slider, about 87 miles an hour. And he throws a sinker at about 89 as well. So he has a lot of hard pitches. And first time through the order, you can see it. Teams are really struggling to figure him out. Second time through the order, Ryan will get 3 or 4 batters, and then they usually take him out after about the fourth inning. But he's a guy who, if he stays healthy and puts it together, that could definitely be an arm in a Rockies uniform one day.
Doug Maurer is the radio voice of the Asheville Tourist. Doug, one of the things we've been doing over these few episodes running through the minor leagues is talking about the fan experience for people who want to go check out games of these affiliates. And for my money, and probably for Anthony's as well, Asheville is by far the most beautiful location for a Rockies affiliate.
Awesome.
The ballpark is awesome. It's so fantastic. Tell people if they're going to come out to a game in the Blue Ridge Mountains, go check out McCormick Field. What are some of your favorite things to do around the ballpark and around town?
Oh, definitely. Well, this year it's our marquee event. It's going to be the All-Star Game. We're hosting the South Atlantic League All-Star Game for the first time since 1996. So we'll have not only some Rockies prospects, but prospects all around the league here in town. It's going to be a great event. As far as the ballpark goes, you know, we made some major renovations this year. We put all new seats in the upper level of the seating bowl area, no more of those steel aluminum benches. It's all individual stadium-style seats. Gives it a little bit more modern look. But for those who don't know, I mean, this is a stadium that was built back in 1924, so it still has a lot of the old luster to it, a lot of tradition, a lot of great players have played there. And then you have that big wall out there in right center field, 42 feet high. You know, lefties come in there, they see it, and they think, all right, you know, it's close. Well, that wall takes away a lot of extra base hits as well. So it's kind of cool to see the ball bounce around there. And then, you know, it's in the mountains. Stadium's built right into the side of the mountains, so the view is fantastic. And as far as the area, I mean, it's downtown. You have a ton to do, a lot of microbreweries, a lot of fun things. You have the Biltmore State. It's just a great city overall. I'm glad you guys pointed that out because I've really enjoyed spending some time there over the past few years.
Asheville has, like, all of the good things about Boulder without any of the bad things about Boulder. So go check out Asheville because it's good for that reason alone. Doug Maurer, the radio voice, the Asheville Tourist. Doug, thanks, man. We'll check in with you later in the season.
You bet. Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Asheville's so awesome. If you get a chance to go to Asheville, you should take a road trip there.
A couple of them. Yeah, it's one of my favorite places in the country. It's nestled in the Blue Ridge Mountains. There's so much to do. And the Boulder comparison is one I have made a lot. I would say it's like the Boulder of the East Coast, except without all the things that make Boulder terrible.
Exactly. It's all of the things about Boulder that are, you know, good without any of the Boulder things.
Yeah.
it's like Boulder without so much Boulder.
You can get to Asheville, do it. McCormick Field is amazing, and apparently they're doing a lot of nice renovations on it too, but it is one of those like cool old school ballparks that's been there for, you know, 800 years, but it's got such a great charm to it, and obviously the amenities are still great as well. They're hosting the All-Star Game there this year. If you can make it out for that, that would be even cooler. But Asheville should absolutely be a destination town for you. I would say of all the affiliates, Asheville is number one on that list, and it has been for a long time.
Babe Ruth once stepped onto the field at McCormick Field and said, this is a damned fine place to play baseball. So if it's good enough for Babe Ruth, it should be good enough for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Go check out McCormick
online
Field.
And on Twitter. They don't think Asheville's good enough for you.
And give Doug a listen on MILB.com. You can listen to Doug Maurer and Asheville Tourist games throughout the 2015 season. And it's going to wrap it up for episode number 43 of the Purple Dozer Podcast.
Before we head out here, how awesome have all of our affiliates been in coming on the podcast?
I know.
Diligently about their teams, just being so gracious to us. And they have so many good things to talk about their team, about the roster, about the stadiums, about the cities. The Rockies have done a phenomenal job of making the Rocks fam, as they put it online, such a part of their major league organization. And they do it with a social media presence. They do it with connections with the caravans in the off seasons. And I think the Rockies, in my experience, with dealing with professional baseball, they are one of the best organizations in making sure the minor league system has everything that they need. And I think what we've experienced that, you know, in the last whatever four podcasts, where we're bringing on everybody from AAA all the way down to high or to a low A in Asheville. And I just want to make sure, I want to say thank you to everybody who has come on the podcast from all these affiliates. You guys have done a phenomenal job. And that's why I love the Rockies so much. They've done such a fantastic job getting everything ready to go with their organizations and all the way up from the top to the bottom. And great job, everybody, coming along. Just give yourself a little bit of a hand here.
Don't tell Woody Page that, man. The draft and development, you can't get him to buy into that scam. Spend that money on players from Venezuela.
Yeah.
It all makes so much sense.
No, they're all just phenomenal. I mean, we worked with organizations that really couldn't care less about their minor league affiliates before.
Yeah, it's interesting the various ways that teams treat their affiliates.
Yeah, the Rockies aren't one of those. The Rockies, they love having the Rocks fam, as it were. They love that, and they love making sure that everybody has everything they're going to possibly need, from the product on the field to stadium amenities to everything like that. They want to make sure that they have a presence in every single minor league affiliate. And I can't wait for a short season to start next month so we can get guys from Boise and Grand Junction on the podcast as well.
Do you think that they patterned that after Oxfam, the NPO that fights poverty? Do you think they thought about that?
I can't say they would do. Did we think about the PDP thing that asked us questions
about
politics in Nigeria?
No, we didn't. No, and we also did not realize what our good pal Mark Davis pointed out the other day, that PDP is just one letter switch away from being PPD, which is very fitting during a week of rain.
was that Mark, or was that SJ?
Was it somebody else? Maybe it was SJ.
Yeah.
That could have been it. Hey, we have two very large announcements before we get out of here.
Uh-oh.
For episode number 43 of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast.
Are you
number
pregnant?
One, I am pregnant. T-shirts are on sale now at humblemonster.com. You can go get yourself a Purple Dinosaur Podcast T-shirt. Head there, click on the Purple Dinosaur Podcast tab. You can also go to bit.ly/purpledinocast. That'll take you directly to that page. So get on there, get your T-shirts. We are going to be rolling out more designs. We're going to be coming up with a lot of additional stuff. We got a lot of ideas in the hopper, a lot of good stuff in the hopper, as they say. And a big thanks to the guys at Humble Monster, the guys and gals at Humble Monster, shall we say.
Guy and gal.
Guy and gal.
They are wonderful people.
So big thanks to them. And so go, you can check out and grab your T-shirts there. I went to the night that the Tulo T-shirt giveaway was happening. They got rained out.
Great, great T-shirt.
But we saw two people in PDP T-shirts, not including myself, so that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, we can't thank you guys enough for the support we've had from the
T-shirts.
You
and we've already had like
such a some phenomenal feedback with the T-shirts. Like, tweet us your pictures all the time wearing
absolutely
PDP
selfies.
Yeah, that is awesome.
And when I walked in the gates, the very first Coors Field employee who saw me said, "I really like that shirt. That is a clean logo."
Nice.
I said, "Thank you." So hop on, grab your Purple Dinosaur Podcast T-shirts. And the biggest news, maybe in the history of the PDP, Ben Badler from Baseball America joins the show
next
week.
And it's true. It's real.
This
He's
is
actually
not
coming
a
off.
Joke. DEFCON 5 or DEFCON 1, whichever one the big one is.
Ben
Badler
from
Baseball
Orange
America.
Or whatever.
He is actually joining the show next week. Really.
And it was
really
and it was a little bit of lighthearted trolling that got him here.
I also explained the joke to him in my email, and he just didn't even respond to it. I was like, "So, you know, we've used this Ben Badler joins us next week thing. It's kind of a joke." And he responded just like, "All right, that sounds good. Next
cool,
Friday."
Great, thanks. We're such idiots.
So really, Ben Badler from Baseball America joins the show next week.
Yeah, he really
Not
does.
Not a joke.
He really does.
Last week, it was David Nee, Dante Bichette, and Larry Walker. Next week, it's Ben Badler.
I think the next week, President Obama.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well,
I mean, about his first pitch.
Where do we go
White
from
Sox
there?
Game?
You know?
I don't know. Neil Armstrong's dead. Can't have him on.
Is he?
The president. And then, you know, I don't know. Maybe we use a Ouija board and we communicate with, like, you know, George Washington.
I think we can do that. Yeah.
Ben Badler, President Obama, George Washington.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You know what? Yeah. I mean, that's all like a, I think that's how scary movies start.
It's a normal trifecta.
Insidious 4, PDP edition.
FMK.
Wow.
So get your T-shirts. Tune in next week. We got Ben Badler from Baseball America joining the show. Big thanks once more to our good pals from This Side of Paradise for this week's music. You can check them out on Facebook, a local Denver band, This Side of Paradise. Thanks to them. And that's going to do it for the Mike Munoz Memorial Edition. Get excited for next week.
Oh, man.
Ben Badler of Baseball
America. I don't even know what I'm going to do. We got to retire that joke now.
We're going to have to, like, we'll raise a PDP t-shirt to the rafters that says Badler 44, episode number 44.
We should have gotten Obama for the 44th edition.
Man!
Great. That is a missed opportunity on our part.
I can't believe he's not just beating down the doors to be on this Rockies podcast of ours. That's weird. It's almost like he has some more important things to do, like be the leader of the free world.
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird.
Details.
Who knows? All right, you guys. We'll talk to you next week. We'll talk to Ben Badler. Get excited.
Bye.
Bye.
We have the hunky one. We have the sport one.
My favorite one's the gross one. I really love the gross one.
I just love the gross one. Everyone's lining up for the gross one.
There are probably a few people in like boy band history that would apply to. Joey Fatone. His last name was literally Fat One. He was the Fat One, and his last name was literally Fat One.
AJ from the Backstreet Boys did a lot of like weird shit, and he had the ponytail. Like, that's gross.
The gross one. Also, those are like probably the only people I could name in boy bands. I don't even remember AJ. Yeah. Joey Fat One, Justin Timberlake. And yeah. Lance Bass. That's about it.
Wow. You really didn't do the whole 90s boy band craze, did you?
I did not. I consider myself proud.
You missed out, man. You missed out.
Pretty proud of that.
I was a big 98 Degrees guy.
You probably were, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
I watched the show Newlyweds.
Okay.
It's about as close as I got to 98 Degrees.
You win.
I remember thinking that show was amusing.
Wow. Remember? Like on purpose?
Remember that show?
Yeah,
nah,
yeah.
I think my high school girlfriend made me watch it. And I was like, all right, well, out of all the dumb garbage you make me watch, this is the most entertaining because these people are all dumb idiots.
Yeah, and that was like the first of all the dumb idiots.
That was a trailblazing show for dumb
idiots. It was.
It really was.
Let's be honest here. Newlyweds changed the game for a lot of folks.
For a lot of dumb idiots.
Yeah. This is a pretty good hidden track.
I agree.